Welcome to Active Lab, a new podcast hosted by your friends at Active San Gabriel Valley. Thanks for tuning in. We are a place-based organization based in the friendly city of El Monte. Our mission is to create a more sustainable, equitable, and livable San Gabriel Valley. Like many of you, we're at home right now, still observing the safer at home guidelines for COVID-19. This has not been easy for us as an organization. We do most of our work in the community, and we're still adjusting to working remotely. This podcast is actually an effort to connect with some of our neighbors during this time, as well as share news and updates on what we've been working on, as well as how you can get involved with environmental and health issues in the San Gabriel Valley. Before we really jump in, I need to acknowledge that this podcast is made possible by funding from the Liberty Hill Foundation, as well as listeners like you. If you'd like to support ActiveSGV's work, you can do so at activesgv.org/donate. And donations at every level are greatly appreciated. We have some very cool thank you items for our members, including some brand new ActiveSGV bamboo utensil sets, which are great to take with you when you're running around town or traveling or even into the office. Before we get underway, I want to introduce a couple of other folks on the call. Excited to be joined by a few of my colleagues, and I'll let them introduce themselves, starting with Amy.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Amy Wong. I'm a program specialist, and I live in El Monte.
Hi, folks. My name is Adriana, also known as AP, and I'm a community engagement specialist from Pomona.
And I am Wes Rudeman. I am the special programs director at ActiveSGV and a resident of the city of Pasadena. So on today's show, we have a couple of things we're going to be touching base on. The first is Voices of the SGV. So this is an effort by ActiveSGV to uplift the voices of others that we have the opportunity to work with in the San Gabriel Valley. We'll also be highlighting 50 years of Earth Month. So you may not be aware, but 2020 is actually the 50-year anniversary of Earth Day and Earth Month. And we've got a lot of great tips that individuals can take even amidst COVID-19 to celebrate Earth Month and take action on climate. And then we'll close out with some opportunities to get involved with ActiveSGV, as well as information about our next podcast. So with that said, we'll kick off with Voices of the SGV, and Amy will have our first story from the field.
Great. Thanks, Wes. So for my Voices of the SGV highlight, I wanted to do a short recap of our Active San Gabriel Valley social from last Thursday, April 9th. Thank you to everyone who joined us. For those who don't know, we host monthly Active SGV socials every second Thursday evening to engage with our community members. And this month was our first time doing it through Zoom. So thank you to those who participated online. We talked about this great book called The Changs Next Door to the Diazes by Wendy Chang that discusses the West San Gabriel Valley and what makes our region unique, which primarily focused on our Latinx and Asian majority community. There are several key themes we discussed as a group, one of which was the resilience of our community, how our working class community are essential workers during this time of COVID. And another big topic we talked about was the amazing foodie culture we have. We are very lucky and blessed to have a lot of great food options, a lot of mom and pop restaurants that serve food that feels like home. Some of them are still open right now, some of them are closed. And there were concerns from the community about whether these local mom and pop businesses are going to survive this crisis. There is also a mention about our bike-friendly business program. So for those who don't know, we have this cool program where we partner with local businesses to encourage more people to walk and bike to them. So that's an ongoing program that we're supporting, and you can check out more about it on our website. And in short, or in conclusion, there's a lot that defines and unites us as a region, and I'm glad we at ActiveSGV are here to represent the 626 and create spaces where we can talk about these issues and try to resolve health, sustainability, and quality of life issues that we face.
Well, thanks for sharing that voice of the SGV story, Amy. I think it's one of the neat things that we've started over the last, maybe, how long has it been, a year and a half, the Read SGV book club program that meets quarterly or so and really gets to dive into some of this really unique issues that make the SGV so special, as well as some of the challenges that our communities face. So if you missed this one, there will be another one coming up, and it's probably never too late to read the Changs Living Next to the Diazes as well. I had a voice of the SGV story as well. One of the things I had the opportunity to do was chat with some small business owners recently and see how they're managing the fallout from the statewide closures. One was a local bike shop owner, a small shop owner. Their business is one of the few that is allowed to remain open during the shutdown. Bike repair is actually considered an essential service, similar to auto repair, but that hasn't meant that it's business as usual for them. They too are very concerned about, you know, putting their staff at risk of getting sick. They have staff who have existing conditions that put them in higher risk categories, or that live with family members who are at higher risk. So they actually went and have eliminated all in-store shopping and have moved to an appointment-only system for bike repair to reduce kind of the chance for transmission, while at the same time still supporting people who want to use bikes and who need to use bikes to get around. One of the things that he shared that was actually particularly interesting was that about 75% of their customers at the moment are totally new to the store. They've found that there's a lot of interest in having old bikes fixed, bikes that have been maybe in someone's garage for years and years and years, or folks that have never really been into bicycling and are looking to purchase a bicycle, just a normal entry-level city bike for the first time. And that the interest has been so great that they've also found that some of their suppliers, so the people they order these entry-level bikes from, are experiencing some shortages. So this seems to really be part of a larger phenomenon that's going around the nation, as walking and biking are two of the remaining things that folks can do. However, that said, they did share that their sales were down very significantly. And that's, of course, a concern, because we've seen so many small bike shops close across the San Gabriel Valley and really across the state in the last several years. And really the mom and pop shops that support the community and are really critical to keep people on bikes and help people out and help get people into bicycling. So I think that, you know, the last thing is, if you haven't yet, please support your local bike shop if you still have one in your area. You know, it's one of the few things we still can do. And here at Active SGV, we're doing our best to encourage folks to ride, just, you know, of course, doing so in a safe manner. The bike paths remain closed. We shouldn't be riding with groups at the moment. And of course, we want to maintain a safe passing distance when we encounter other people on the road, especially a lot more pedestrians out in the street who are, you know, maybe passing other pedestrians, everyone trying to give themselves 6 feet. So please be courteous and ride safe out there. Well, why don't we jump right into our main focus area for today, which was really taking a look at the 50th anniversary of Earth Day and where we are and what are things we can do to continue to improve our sustainability practices. On April 22nd, 1970, the first Earth Day was hosted. Really remarkable when you think that an estimated 20 million Americans participated in that first Earth Day. The scale, you know, one of the largest political and movement demonstrations of its kind in U.S. history. Also really remarkable is coming out of that was the country was in such a different place. There was really bipartisan political support for environmental efforts and for conservation. We had President Nixon at the time actually creating the EPA by executive order, which when you think about it in today's light for a Republican nominee and someone who is really held up by many persons who are in the GOP as a staunch conservative, for at the same time to also be very strongly in support of conservation and environmental best practices. Also under his administration, the first piece of legislation to come out of the EPA, the Clean Air Act, was passed in 1972. Endangered Species Act was signed into law by him in 1973, and the Safe Drinking Water Act in 1974. One would think that clean air and safe drinking water would be things that we can continue to find consensus around and support, but that is no longer something we can take for granted, and shows that while we have come really far in some areas, in others, particularly on the political front, there's a lot of room for improvement around environmental issues. That said, all this happened in 1970, and as much as I might not like to date myself, I was only born in end of 1979, so none of us were around for this real first wave of the environmental movement in the first Earth Day. One of the things that I'm curious, and we've been curious about, is what does Earth Day mean to people of our generation who, you know, experienced it much later and in a different environment? So, Amy, I mean, from your perspective as someone who's much younger than me, even. How have you grown up with Earth Day, and what does it mean to you?
Thanks, Wes, for asking. And for me, Earth Day serves as a reminder to reconnect with nature and with one another as people. I firmly believe the health of our communities is tied to the health of our planet. And I think this is something that people of color, Indigenous people, have always known and practiced, and Earth Day is a good day to remind us of that. And I do want to recognize and respect that we are on Tongva land here in the SGV. And yeah, Earth Day is a good reminder of our relationship to our community and the planet.
Awesome. And Adriana, from your perspective, I think we almost represent a couple of different segments of like age range here.
Yeah, we do.
Healthy middle without betraying your true age.
What is that's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you ask, Wes, you know, what is it like to have grown up with Earth Day? It's interesting because it wasn't until I was in the field and doing this work with Active SGV that I even realized, oh, there is this Earth Day. And oh, this actually took place 50 years ago. And 50 years ago, we were thinking of protecting our waterways and protecting our air. And it's, I think, knowing that this year marks the 50th anniversary is just a really staunch reminder that, hey, we are not as far ahead in the road as perhaps we should be. Right, being mindful that this is Tongva land, being very mindful that Indigenous and First Nation communities have been taking care and being stewards of the land for so long, I think this anniversary just really invites us to think, okay, yes, it is the year 2020 and technology has advanced so much, but how can we bring it back a little to maybe some more, you know, old school ways, right? Like, how can you really take care of the earth? I think a lot about growing up and going to visit my parents' ranch in Mexico when I was a kid, and there was barely any electricity. There was no running water. So you needed to wash the dishes. You would go down to the river and bring buckets back. You needed to wash clothes. You would do that in the river, you know, just like this really big connection to nature and feeling like you were just a piece of the puzzle. And I really hope that seeing, you know, everything that's happening with this pandemic and COVID-19, it's interesting to see ourselves as a piece of the puzzle once again, right? We're like, as humans, not like in charge of the program anymore. It's like, no, y'all can stay home for a little bit. We've had enough of you. We've had enough of your cars. Everybody stay home, you know, tend to your garden, grow some plants, you know, maybe grow some cucumbers while you're at it, you know, whatever. But just really take care of your space. So I think it's almost like, it's just crazy how the timing has aligned, right? And as we're seeing clear skies across the world, we're also being reminded to like check back in with ourselves. And yeah, I think I read something that in India, they can see the Himalayas for the first time in 30 years. And I thought, wow, I can see downtown LA too. That's like our, you know, very different example. But again, right, like the world is showing us that, hey, I can heal. I just need y'all to act right. Like, I really need you folks to also, you know, be mindful that you're a piece of the puzzle and you're not just running the show here.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. On the one hand, I think a lot of us were very disappointed because there were a lot of amazing events that were supposed to take place this month, from major Earth Day festivals in downtown LA, Grand Park, to what we were planning to be our most sustainable, most kind of earth-friendly open streets festival that we've hosted to date, which was scheduled for Sunday, April 19th, really inviting people to get out of their cars and learn more and how to engage with local groups. And of course, none of that is possible anymore. And but at the same time, we have, you know, we're being forced to step back and really reevaluate our communities, what's important, the health of our neighbors, the health of our neighborhoods, the health of our families. And at the same time that that's happening is we're seeing all these dramatic changes as a result of such a global change in behavior by so many people not doing certain things. We have the cleanest air since the Industrial Revolution in a lot of places. I mean, they've taken records in LA for 40 plus years, and we've had cleaner air than since they've been recording that. So.
So incredible, right?
So one of the few silver linings right now, but also is an opportunity to think about like our place in the world and how what else we can do to, you know, allow us to have an economy that functions really well and supports all of us, but at the same time we still have clean air and clean water and healthy communities. I think under normal circumstances, Earth Day has meant for me the last several years, especially as I've gotten more engaged in environmental issues, is it's an opportunity to really step back and see where we are as a community, as a movement. It's a great chance to invite others to participate with us, to host fun community events and get people on bikes and on scooters and trying new things. Learning about different organizations. Also, it's always a fun opportunity to celebrate what communities have done. They're great. You know, we always have a lot of tree plantings and cleanups and community rides and workshops and film screenings, different things people can do and really learn from one another. I think that's always amazing. Is there here in the San Gabriel Valley, you have some just tremendous local advocates and experts, subject area experts. We've done some really fun tours, folks who are with their own two hands changing their homes from being gas powered to fully electric and zero or net zero, they call it, right? Doesn't require any additional energy from the grid. They pretty much produce all the energy they need on the side of the home. So that's been fun, and I definitely look forward to when we can do those things again. But that's something that Earth Month has meant for me and Earth Day. It's exciting to see us get to 50 years, and I'm hopeful we can really move things forward as things are going to get, looks like it's are going to get tough, and we're going to have to be creative in supporting our communities and making sure we can continue moving forward. So on that note, we as an organization put together a list of 50 plus actions for 50 years of Earth Day. And we thought it would be fun to share a collection of some of those actions, things that we personally have either done or are working on doing in our lives as individuals. One of the nice things is, yes, there needs to be federal action and there needs to be global participation in acting on a lot of these issues. But there are many things we can do as individuals that we have a lot of control over, and that the social scientists say those actions also help influence our neighbors and friends and our loved ones and really help support the broader movement towards a healthier community and a healthier climate. So Adriana, I'm going to give you the floor to kick us off with the first tip, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the easier things, right, that we can always do is change even our behavior, some of the things that we do and some of the things that we eat, right? And so one of the first tips that we wanted to share with you folks today was just a reminder that eating more plants and less meat gets us a really far way. It's so much healthier for your body, but also for the earth, right? It's a lot more affordable when you think about that with this quarantine. So many of us are back in the kitchen, or so many of us are gardening for maybe the first time, or maybe the first time in a really long time. But eating more plants, right, reduces a lot of the emissions. Our food industry is notorious for, you know, especially the meat and dairy sectors are notorious for being the largest emitters of greenhouse gases. And so one of the tips that we want to share with you folks is just remember that reducing your meat consumption can help cut your carbon footprint, your diet's carbon footprint, by more than 40%. So keep that in mind next time you're eyeing, next time you're grocery shopping with your gloves and masks. Just think about some of the plants that maybe you should be eating a little bit more of.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's nice with that one is it's generally more affordable too. So as folks are really starting to struggle more financially, just eating a little less meat is lighter on your finances, and it's generally more healthy too. So I think that's a great one, and something that a lot of folks can do. And it doesn't per se mean going fully off of meat. Some people just do meatless Mondays. There's a whole movement around that, or just certain meals of the day. So simply reducing some of your meat consumption can have a really big impact. Amy was going to share our next tip.
Yes, and speaking of plants, this tip is related. So another suggestion is to plant or adopt a young street tree in your neighborhood and to make sure to water it during the coming summer months, since it's going to get hotter. And trees in general are so valuable. They provide shade, nature, and greenery in our neighborhoods. And I know there's an issue of shade equity as well. Some of our communities don't have enough street trees, which can increase temperatures and make it unpleasant to walk around on hot days. The simple addition of a street tree can make people feel welcomed in a community, especially because our communities are so park poor. Trees really add a lot.
Yeah, the other nice thing too with this one is not everyone has space or a yard to plant their own tree, but there are many communities that are planting young trees, and oftentimes those young trees don't survive. I think the first 2 or 3 years is really important for a tree to establish roots. And one of the things you can do is literally adopt one of those young trees in your neighborhood and make that your tree and help make sure it does endure. We actually were just hearing from an advocate yesterday in the city of El Monte, who's very concerned on her street. The city is planning on cutting down over a dozen trees that are over about 80 years old, planted in the 1940s, Chinese elms. Unfortunately, the parkway is only 2 feet wide where the trees were planted, and they're under power lines, and there's been a lot of poor pruning over the years, and the sidewalks are being uplifted because there's not enough space for the roots. So the city feels at this point there's nothing else that can be done to save these trees. But they will be planting, they say, as many as they can in the space, so more than are there currently. However, you know, those trees may not all survive. So if you see this happening in your community or new trees being planted, simply adopting one of those trees, helping water it when it gets super hot, can be a very simple but effective action you can take. Totally unrelated to this tip, one of the ones I pulled from our list of 50 actions has to do with just drying your clothes. Growing up in the San Gabriel Valley, you know, I lived in one of those households where we had a gas dryer, and we pretty much used it to dry everything for the most part. And it wasn't until I studied abroad during college and went to Austria that I was introduced or reintroduced to hang drying your clothes. Very surprising when I was there how few dryers they have. Almost everyone would hang dry their clothing. I remember I was living in student housing and then an apartment building later after I graduated. I ended up moving back. And even in winter, when very cold, people hang dry their clothes in a basement or in have a fold-up clothes hanger in your apartment, and it might take a couple of days for things to dry, but that was totally the norm there. And in comparison, here in Southern California, when I moved back about 10 years ago, things dry in a couple hours most days when you put them out. And so it's really simple, doesn't cost anything, and it really saves you money if you're currently using a gas dryer. So that's one thing I've started to do and tried to get my partner and teaching our young children about it as well. I haven't fully succeeded for 100% of our clothes, but we are making a dent. So that's at least a nice, simple thing that folks can do.
Interesting to hear you talk about like raising young kids and the things that you are instilling in them. I remember being a kid and we would dry everything on the, you know, we would hang it up because there was no dryer. And then the dryer came into the home and it's like, oh, we lost sight of like this other resource that we had, super accessible.
It's funny, if, you know, we think of these things as necessities, but often if we simply don't buy into them, then it's not an issue.
So true. I was working as an au pair in Australia, actually. That was one of the first things when I was getting like the tour of the lay of the land in the home was, here's the washer and here's the dryer, but we never use it. Everything goes outside. Let me show you where to hang it. Sheets, blankets, anything and everything went out on the line. And one of the first things I did when I moved back home was buy a bunch of clothespins. So I was like done with the dryer. But again, right, access and how close we are to things. As we were looking at, you know, like the tips that we were sharing on the blog, I was thinking, huh, what are some other things that we used to do before? And sometimes just, you know, it's like ease and comfort, crimes of convenience, right? What else are we doing or what else are we leaving behind? One of the other things that I was thinking a lot about was like food, takeout or things that you buy sometimes eating when you're hungry, you're walking up and down the aisles thinking, oh, I want this and I want this. And the next thing you know, you have perfectly good food that just went to waste. So tip number 15 on our list for folks following along was planning your meals ahead, right, to minimize food waste. And once you have the food, making sure that you have containers or that you're keeping things in the fridge and maybe revisiting your meal from like last night or from a couple of days ago. Again, right now is a really good time to take this tip into effect as we're being asked to stay indoors more, as we're being asked to go to the store a little bit less. Think about what you're going to be having that week. And maybe making sure that you're eating as much of it as you possibly can to minimize that waste. I know Amy's next tip is really good also, right along the lines of home and veggies. Amy?
Yes. And speaking of food, I think it is helpful for us to think about planting our own food at home. So that includes vegetables, fruits, and this can be done on a balcony or a patio or any shared outdoor space. And reflecting too on a lot of these tips, I think so much of our immigrant community knows how to be sustainable. And even though, like just reflecting on the drying of clothes, that's actually something my family has done ever since I grew up. We've always dried our clothes outside. My grandma has planted a lot of fruit trees in our backyard, including dragon fruit, jujubes, oranges, lemons, a lot of Asian fruits that you don't typically associate Southern California with. But because of our Mediterranean climate, we're able to grow a lot of different fruits and vegetables. And so it excites me to see when I walk around my neighborhood, different citrus trees with lots of fruits that are budding right now. And there are always fruits in season that people can plant at home. And what's great is that by planting food at home, there are less pesticides, there are no greenhouse gas emissions because they're going from your backyard or your patio to your kitchen. And so there's a lot more control and ownership when we plant our own food. And that's something that hopefully more people can do.
Yeah, I think the other great thing too is that when you have your own fruit trees, I've just seen so many examples of folks sharing with their neighbors, especially if you have a mature, and I know my parents, my dad always was into planting fruit trees my parents' house has hundreds of pounds of tangelos right now. And some of the other neighbors have on her street have grapefruit and tangerines and other things, and just informal produce exchanges where picking extra fruit and leaving it in a box out front. And there are even some neighborhoods which have a bit more formal ones where once a month or every 2 weeks, people come together and bring a bunch of whatever's growing in their backyard, and it's divided up and shared amongst everyone else. So
that is such a cool idea. Maybe like a little homework assignment, right? Pick some, you know, if you have a fruit tree, maybe go pick some of that off. I know here at home we have 2 orange trees, 2 lemon trees, and 2 avocado trees. And we are just waiting to get that box out front so that folks can take as much as they like. That'd be so cool to start in your own neighborhood.
Yeah, and we even know a couple folks who've created a little share station produce stand in front of their house. So similar to a little library, whatever's growing that they have access of in their garden, they put out in that space and people can come and help themselves to some fruit. And that's awesome because, especially with the history of the region, much of the San Gabriel Valley was orchards at one time. Wow. And there are many homes with trees that have fruit that is left unpicked and unused. And sometimes it can be as simple as introducing yourself to the neighbor. And sometimes neighbors, especially when we get older, they can't get up on a ladder and pick fruit, or they may not have a fruit picker, but you can offer to help pick some of their fruit and share it. And I know in the past, I did that with one of my neighbors, and it was awesome. It was just a really nice way to connect. At the same time, helping one another out and putting, you know, free produce to use that was literally just hanging there. The low-hanging fruit, as they say. But moving along, I think another thing that my family's been working on has been trying to see where we can reduce energy use at home. Over the last few years, we've swapped out. We used to do compact fluorescent light bulbs. We went to all LED light bulbs, which are really easy and longer lasting, as well as my dad used to do this to me all the time, turn off lights in the house and would reprimand my mom and I for leaving lights on around the house. So it's funny. I feel like I'm slowly turning more into him because I'm the one walking around the house turning off lights and telling my children why it's important to do so, you know, using power strips and turning them off, plugging cords into them just so you don't have your appliances drawing energy when they're not in use. Simple things like that that don't really cost anything, and it's just small behavior changes or minimal investments in some light bulbs that make a big difference over time.
Yeah, those small behaviors, I think that's what it all ultimately comes down for, right? Things that feel like it's so hard to do, or oh, we could never do this. I know one of the things that we started doing at home was composting. I know it's something that we do at Active and we're really mindful of it, but now we've transitioned that and adopted it also at home. So something that folks can also do at home, right, is collecting all of your scraps from food in your kitchen. We also do it like outside. We have like, it goes into like a separate bucket next to the trash bin, and then it gets taken outside. It's a really easy way to reduce some of the waste. And again, to have awesome fertilizer for these beautiful fruit trees all over. One thing that I did want to mention to folks, if you happen to be in the area, if you happen to be in Pomona, the Pomona Eco Farm is still open. So folks can still go and garden and grow their own fruit. And something really cool about the Eco Farm, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, by the way, is that you can call them up and they will come on their bikes and haul away your food scraps. So you can compost, you can have someone come to your home, pick them up, and it all goes back to a community garden, or you can go and mulch it yourself and bring it back home for your garden.
That's awesome.
The other nice thing about that too is when you're not throwing all your food scraps in your trash bin at home, it doesn't smell as quickly, which we know. You don't need to take out the trash as much, especially if you're trying to
clean more space in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure.
More space, yeah.
And speaking of trash, another thing for us to be mindful of is whether our products will end up going in the landfill after a short period of time. Another helpful tip is to buy longer lasting, durable items. There's been a lot of fast fashion and fast technology where these items are built to be destroyed. I know, for example, Forever 21 recently went bankrupt, and I think there's demand for higher quality products and clothes and everyday items that we use so that we aren't consuming as much and we're not adding more waste in our landfills. So that's a helpful tip. And for example, something that I never thought I would do would be to spend $20 on a pair of socks. But there's a great brand out there called Darn Tough, and they actually offer a lifetime warranty for those socks. So if you ever get a hole or something's wrong with that pair of socks, you could ship it in and you'll get it fixed and mended, and then you're good to go. So thinking about the long-term use of a product is very helpful.
For sure. And so many things, right? Like either you buy them and you know they're going to be good, or sometimes even just buying things with that end in mind, like, oh, maybe I can reuse this for something else. Something that I try to do and have been doing for a really long time is trying to reuse containers, right? I know forever you see the memes, like, notoriously, I know at least like in my household, you thought you were reaching for the butter, but it's not. It's like the container's being reused and now it holds like leftovers, or the jar from the marmalade is now being used for something else. One of the other tips that we wanted to share with you folks is saving some of your glass food containers or even your plastic food containers. They make awesome storage. You can use them for next time. Meal prep, always like a really easy, good way to use something to reuse it, right? I know we've grown up with reduce, reuse, recycle. The sad reality is that we're not recycling as much, right? And very little, actually. So reduce, reuse, refuse is really going to start being a little bit more of a introduce into our lexicon. So just keep in mind that switching over from the things that you thought you could recycle, maybe you can't recycle them. That's totally fine. You can always reuse them. Wash, you know, your meal prep containers, buy glass containers. I make overnight oats in them all the time. It's a really easy, fun way to keep trash out of our landfill. And it's funny to now think like, oh, it's so easy. And yeah, let's do it. I remember being a kid being like, oh my God, this is so gross. They're like, oh no, I don't want to do this anymore. And my mom forever be like, don't you throw those containers away. And just like you, Wes, like I am now my mother for sure, like 100%. Like, oh, please rewash that. Oh, you can reuse this. Oh, we can get another use of this one, you know? And I think all those things, like whether it's for the sake of like, you know, being more economical or not, I think it's just a really good, easy practice. Just keeping in mind that resources aren't infinite, that we have things here on earth and that we need to take care of them. And the more that we take care of them and take care of each other, the better things are going to be for our whole planet.
Yeah, I mean, it's really free Tupperware too, right? You don't need to go out and buy containers. I grew up one of those households too. I remember we had a cabinet was just filled with jars, glass jars.
Same. Yes, for sure. And mix and match, yeah.
Just make, and you would have to figure out where the lids are. And I've even made that sometimes a game with my kids. It's like, match the lid, all right? And then whoever matches more lids wins the game.
Yeah, I've started taking them to restaurants too, or just carrying them in my car or carrying them in my backpack. You never know when you're going to need, whether it's a fork or a plate or a container for something that you didn't quite finish. You know,
it's yeah, like or carry really some snacks in it, some nuts, yeah. Some that. And I know my dad grew up on a farm, and so he brought beekeeping with him when both of my parents came to Switzerland, and we illegally kept bees for a lot of years, which I didn't even know was illegal.
Wow.
Yeah, but now it is legal in many places. You know, he was just kind of ahead of the curve. Like I think a lot of the immigrant communities were in planting a lot of food and trees and doing urban farming and homesteading. But we used to use all our old jars. We fill them with the honey too, that from the bees every year. And then we give them to friends and family for the holidays, or when I had to do school fundraiser, I'd be sent around the neighborhood with, you know, a wagon full of honey and would try to do honey sales to raise funds for
that's living. So cool. I think our next act of social should be like beekeeping. How can you do this in your own backyard?
Yeah, that's not on our list of tips, but definitely, you know, very cool if you, you know, if you take the plunge and start beekeeping or keeping chickens. one of the things that's a bit simpler to do, but really does have a big impact since it is one of our primary sources of greenhouse gas emissions in California, is just where our energy is coming from that's powering our homes. Depending which city you live in, some of your energy may still be coming from coal power plants. I know here in Pasadena, it's about 30 or 40% of the power generated for the city is still from these coal plants in Utah. However, the city does have a green power program, so you can opt in to that and kind of pick how much green power you'd like to support. And this may cost a little bit. You can pay an additional $5 or $10 a month. I think our household pays an additional like $7 or $10 a month to get almost fully green power. So that's something, and Edison has a green power program. There's also a growing number of cities in the San Gabriel Valley that are part of the Clean Power Alliance. That's a really cool new model that just got started the last year and a half, really. And some of the cities that are participating, if you live in Alhambra or Arcadia, Sierra Madre, South Pasadena, Temple City, are unincorporated. LA counties, such as, you know, if you're in Altadena or another unincorporated area, such as Avocado Heights, you are a member of the Clean Power Alliance, and you can easily kind of adjust what percentage clean power you receive. The cities get to set what the default is, and then you can change it if you want. But so, for example, if you are a South Pasadena resident, 100% of your power is from green sources, and that can be done. And it isn't a lot of money, and can really help support renewables and cleaner energy.
Thanks, Wes, for sharing. And that does remind me, we do have an Empower program at Active SGV where folks can utilize different rebates and discounts for utilities and power. So that's something folks can check out as well. And I did want to share one last tip that is super important. If you're able to donate financially or donate with your time to community-based organizations with an environmental focus like ours and our friends at Climate Resolve, East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice, and many more. And for those who don't know, all our staff, almost all our staff, is from the San Gabriel Valley, and that's what makes our organization unique. We live and breathe the issues that we're fighting for. And any donation, whether that be through money or time, truly helps us. We hope you are encouraged through all our Earth Day tips to be able to do so. So we're happy to share more advice and tips with everyone.
If you're interested in any of these or want more information, again, this is all part of, you know, the 50-year anniversary of Earth Day. So jump onto activesgd.org. And you'll be able to find all of that information there.
Yeah, and it's on the Active blog page on our website. So if you just click Active blog, you'll find the post with all 50 plus. And we'd also love to hear if you have other tips that that didn't make our list of 50, please share them with us. Tag us at ActiveSGV on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. We'd love to hear other things you're doing and other things we can do individually. I know many of us are continuing. It's part of an ongoing movement and process, and we're all trying to get better. A lot of those tips also are great ways to save money and improve our health and do other things that I know many of us share as goals and values. So we're starting to run low on time, but we definitely wanted to share some upcoming opportunities to get involved with Active SGV. Amy and Adriana have a few things that we have coming up that might be of interest.
Yes. Coming up next weekend, the weekend of April 25th and 26th, we are having a very fun, social distancing friendly, Healing Our Earth Day scavenger hunt. With a $10 buy-in, you can get access to a fun list of quarantine-friendly activities you can do. This is a fun opportunity for you to stay active while at home and win cool prizes. So stay tuned on our social media for more details.
Something also that we wanted to share with y'all, our super dear to our hearts, our Carly Curiel is a yoga instructor, and she's been doing her practice for a few years now. And something really cool that Carly does every month is lead full moon yoga classes. This is a mobile yoga class really meant to get rid of those barriers that sometimes keep people from starting yoga. I know a lot of times it can seem like even for your own personal self-care practice, there's barriers or burdens that get in the way. Sometimes finances are an issue. Maybe you're worried about your experience level or your location. All that to say that Carly's thought of it all. And this donation-based community yoga class circulates all over the SGV every full moon of the month. Last month and this month will be no exception. So you can now join on Zoom. And if you're more interested in joining for next month's class, you can go on to Full Moon Yoga with Carly on Instagram or Facebook. And I know you can also find her link through our staff profile, but also on our Active SGV Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing those upcoming opportunities to get more active with Active SGV. We'd like to thank everyone again for listening today. We'll be back next time with another dive into the San Gabriel Valley. Until then, you can stay in touch with us on social media at Active SGV on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rumor has it we may even be on TikTok now. So if you're on there, take a look for us. You can also support us by becoming a contributing member at activesgv.org. We have a very cool set of Earth Month stickers, which originally were going to be given out at Heart of the Foothills Golden Streets event at each hub. Since that isn't going to happen until most likely 2021, this is an opportunity to get a head start and collect some of those very, very cool stickers designed in the San Gabriel Valley by one and only Dan Sipple, who were very appreciative of. And last but not least, any contributions are, of course, tax deductible. They help us carry out our mission to make the San Gabriel Valley a more sustainable, equitable, and healthy region. And you can donate at activesgv.org/donate. Again, this podcast was made possible by ActiveSGV members, as well as the Liberty Hill Foundation. Thanks again for joining us, and happy Earth Month, everyone.
Happy Earth Month.
Happy Earth Month.